What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is September 24th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Who cares about yesterday's games? All that matters right now is today, tomorrow, this weekend, all that stuff. I have you covered on the PitcherList website, of course, with my sit and start rankings for every single day for the entire week. I did that on Monday with the list, and of course, I'm updating these every single day. I have also already updated Friday for those with PL Pro members, so go get PL Pro today with promo code PODCAST for 15% off PL Pro yearly at pitcherlist.com/premium. That's 15% off. That's like 2 months off with promo code PODCAST, all capital letters, at pitcherlist.com/premium for PL Pro yearly. But let's talk about Wednesday's games. You have Garrett Crochet, Paul Skeens, Hunter Green, Max Fried, Blake Snell, Jacob deGrom, Hunter Brown. This is the same as yesterday with only really one update later on in the slate. But yeah, you're starting all those guys, Robbie Ray as well against the Cardinals, even though he hasn't been good. I have to add a quick update right here. Afterwards, I found out that Robbie Ray is not starting today. He's being shut down for the year, and instead it's going to be JT Brubaker in his place against the Cardinals, otherwise known as Coffee Cakes. That is a very clear do not start. I am not interested in JT Brubaker, not even in a house with a mouse. I do not want any Coffee Cakes. So do not go for JT Brubaker today. Do not have Robbie Ray in your lineups. He is not going to pitch. He's fully shut down for the rest of the year. Jesus Luzardo has been a little volatile, but it's the Marlins. You have Luis Castillo with Rocky Road. Are you kidding? Now, keep in mind, it is a weaker lineup today because the Mariners just clinched yesterday. So I imagine it's their quote-unquote hangover day. Something to think about with it, but yeah, you're going to start Luis Castillo. Maybe we'll get to that with the Rockies pitcher. Maybe I am undervaluing them at the moment. We'll talk about that later. Sonny Gray rounds out that auto start tier against the Giants. You have a probable start tier of Shane Boz at Baltimore. Velocity was up. I think he's just good enough and you should go with it. And it kind of is a weaker probable start tier today. That's why he leads this one with Tanner Bibee against the Tigers. And I will mention, the fact that the Guardians are leading this division right now is absolutely wild. 1-9 are the Tigers' last 10 games. 9-1 are the Guardians with yesterday's win as well. And the momentum is on the Guardian side, especially with Tanner Bibee waking up at just the right moment. So you got to go with him against the Tigers. Jack Flaherty's going to be on the other side of that. And I'm actually tempted to even lower Jack Flaherty into the questionable start tier just because of the morale of Detroit right now. It is not in his favor. Even though it is a weak Guardians lineup, they are lefty focused, which might not work against the breaking balls as much. That's the one I think that I'm a little more tepid for and questionable my own ranking. But then again, I was questionable of Zebby Matthews as a streamer yesterday, and we all saw how that went. So that's just my whatever emotion, while my head says, no, you should be going with Jack Flaherty there. You have Max Scherzer, who had a terrible inning. Forget that inning. It wasn't even a full one. It was two outs. And it was just weirdness and baseball and stuff. It doesn't mean the quality or the skills are gone for Scherzer. It is not the case. You should be starting him in Toronto against the Red Sox today. Matthew Boyd goes in to Citi Field. Actually, it does not go into Citi Field. It's going to be in Wrigley to host the Mets. And the Mets are a weird thing themselves, right? So I'm fine with Boyd. What we've seen lately is not quite the excellence that we've seen in the first half from Matthew Boyd. At the same time, it's the same skill set. We should be fine with this. Steven Kolek has just been rolling, and it's kind of hard to tell you not to start him. So fine, he gets the Angels, not a strong offense. He should do well right-hander on right-hander here. I think you'll be fine with Steven Kolek in Los Angeles against the Angels. And then Tyler Wells is going to host the Rays, not going to Tampa. He's actually going to have them in Camden, which is very good. Tyler Wells has been a very serviceable Toby, and a Toby with a good matchup deserves your favor. Questionable start here. You have Bryce Elder. You might want to roll with him because he has been doing so well lately. I don't really want to do that, but I get it. Even the bad start, he had lots of whiffs in it. He gets the Nationals. That is a lefty lineup, which isn't as good for a right-handed focused sinker, sweeper, slider kind of guy, right? Not really my favorite. It's really sinkers and sliders and the four-seamers up. I don't want to do that. Dylan Cease against the Brewers. It feels weird putting him in question, but I totally understand, y'all. Like, you are terrified of starting Dylan Cease these days. It is not going to be against Jacob Mizorowski or Quinn Priester, though. That's what we thought initially. The Brewers decided to push everyone back a day. So that means it's not Quinn Priester against the Padres. But instead, it's going to be Chad Patrick, which will help the win chance for Dylan Cease, as Chad Patrick generally doesn't go very long into games. And I don't think that's a very good matchup for Chad Patrick. So we'll talk about him later in the do not start tier. So Dylan Cease a little bit more favorable, not going against Quinn Priester. Ryan Weathers against the Phillies, I don't want to go for it because he only threw 68 pitches in both his rehab start and is still ill last week. So he's not stretched down to 85 pitches or so. Lowers the ceiling, not to mention it's the Phillies. Yes, a lefty against Schwarber is helpful, and that lineup still, it's too risky, too volatile without enough of a ceiling for me to go after it. JT Ginn is a little bit of a sneaky one here. The Astros are right-handed lineup. JT Ginn is a right-handed sinker sweeper or sinker slider guy who does have a cutter for lefties, does have some four-seamers, maybe some changeups. But he's a command guy that feasts normally on right-handed lineups. The one drawback here is that it is Sacramento. Does him no favors. And Ginn doesn't really have the highest of ceilings. So if you're chasing a quality start, this might be the one to go for. But it isn't something that I feel like I'm jumping over hurdles to go and get. That is JT Ginn hosting the Astros in Sacramento. Jonah Tong against the Cubs. Oh my gosh, the Cubs are a good offense. The Mets are the Mets. Jonah Tong is a four-seamer splitter guy. He did turn to a breaking ball a little bit more last time, which is good, that curveball. But I'm not ready to say that that can be his number two pitch with a splitter being number three. That's a scenario that I would actually feel really good about Jonah Tong. It's why I'm higher on Trey Savage, who has that slider as that bridge pitch. Jonah Tong doesn't have that, but he does have a better four-seamer. So we'll see. It's up to you if you want to go over that. I'll give you a hint here. PL Bot, which is normally reserved just for PL Pro members, and they're beating me of the streamers by like two games this year. We're both having a fantastic streamer year. But they were up like 116 wins to my like 113, which is so frustrating, but also kind of awesome. They love Jonah Tong today. That is their streaming pick, minus Steven Kolek. So take that what you will. That is a bonus for those who don't have PL Pro. Ryan Nelson gets the Dodgers, unfortunately. His four-seamer still dope, makes us feel dope. However, he has not found that secondary yet. He keeps experimenting, which is nice for 2026, but right now against the Dodgers, I don't really want to do that. You see Kikuchi against the Royals. No, he's a hipster, and if you're really chasing strikeouts, fine, but it's not in Kauffman. It is in Los Angeles, which is worse for Kikuchi. You have Taj Bradley against the Rangers. We just saw Zebby Matthews take advantage of pitching in Arlington Park against a weaker lineup that doesn't have Corey Singer, does not have Marcus Semien, but it is Taj Bradley. He is absolute chaos. Professor Chaos went away from Peralta and has gotten real close to Taj Bradley over the years. So do what you want. I think of it as a bad coin flip. That's not really a fair statement. I would say you have three nickels and a dime, and you're hoping for the dime. Okay, you have do not start here, as I mentioned before, Chad Patrick against the Padres. I just don't like the matchup. I don't think he's going to go very long. Andrew Alvarez against Atlanta. There is a chance that the two breaking balls, which are the same velocity but different movement, which is very deceptive, they have better command than we saw last game. It's possible that can work against Atlanta. I'm not really too thrilled about it, especially with the Nationals and all. Tyler Alexander is going to be going against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium for the White Sox. Fun game last night, by the way. I was there with a White Sox friend of mine, and I feel terrible for him. I mean, he's suffered enough, let alone that ninth inning. But you did see the Yankee offense get stymied a bit throughout the entire game. But Tyler Alexander, he is T-Lex, that is short-armed. He doesn't really go five, six innings at all, so you don't want to go with that. And I might be too low on Tanner Gordon at Seattle. Why? Because, as I mentioned before, it's outside, of course. It's at the tee. Tanner Gordon has showcased strikeouts, but they might be resting their starters today as the Mariners clinched the postseason yesterday. So if you're confused about that, I was too, considering that they're only four games up the nearest person that would be able, or the bottom of the wild card with five games left. However, it's because the Tigers are facing both the Guardians and the Red Sox. There is no scenario where one of the Guardians, Red Sox, or Tigers have a better record than the Mariners. That is why. Which is kind of wild and fun that they're actually using mathematical eliminations and stuff instead of just like pure win-loss. Regardless, Tanner Gordon, I'm very tempted to put at the top of Do Not Start, or maybe even the bottom of Questionable, considering that he has had success as of late. Tanner Gordon has had strikeout games that have surprised us. He had four strikeouts last time, but then 9, 5, and 9. And those were games inside, of Coors. The Cubs game was, and the Padres was 9 in 6 innings in one earned run. Just something to consider here, as he does have a changeup that can really work. It's a four-seamer that is 93 and not exciting whatsoever. But it's something to think about if you're really desperate right now and trying to find starters. Tanner Gordon might be the surprise start. All right, we're going to talk about Thursday's games after this break. Thursday, what we have is a switch of the Yankees going with Carlos Rodon instead of Will Warren. Also, in addition, the questions about Brian Wu. Yeah, he is not going to start. Not much of a surprise, really, because the Mariners are out of the postseason. Or sorry, are in the postseason. They don't need Brian Wu now. Why not rest him, make sure that he's okay for their playoff series? And maybe if they're lucky, they can, A, maybe have the bye in the first round, which they might have, which means that Brian Wu gets even more rest. And B, they would be able to have him at the end of that turn, so that they have a ton of extra rest to make sure that Brian Wu is okay. It makes all the sense in the world that he's not starting this one. So he's removed from this. Emerson Hancock will be going instead, and we'll talk about him in a lower tier. But the auto starts, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Carlos Rodon going now that he's replacing Warren. And Warren's going back an extra day. Shane Bieber against the Red Sox. Nick Lodolo against the Pirates. Shota Imanaga against the Mets. And Nolan McLean. I got to get that one right. Against the Cubs. Pretty straightforward. You're not going to bench Shane Bieber here. You're not going to bench Nick Lodolo, who finally gets a good matchup. Yes, it is in Great American Ballpark. It's not in PNC Park. However, it is not the Cubs. It is not the Dodgers. It is not the Padres, etc. He's been pitching really, really well. Shota Imanaga, ace is going to ace. I am an AGA. That is his name. He should pitch to that level. It is the Mets. But is it the Mets? I don't know what we should expect with that, honestly. They did just take down Cade Horton, to be fair. But you're going to be starting Shota Imanaga. Nolan McLean against the Cubs on the other side of it. He's just been so good. And honestly, I mean, he's really stepped up for the Mets when they've needed him, especially against these tough matchups. Probable starts. It's Joe Ryan at Texas. What? Why is Joe Ryan down here? I know he should be top tier, right? At the same time, Joe Ryan has not been stud Joe Ryan for a little bit. And it really comes down to his four-seamer command not being at the top of the zone, which also means that his secondaries are not under the zone, or at least at the bottom of the zone, complementing that four-seamer well. So it is a very good situation, and I feel like you still are going to do Joe Ryan, but I do see scenarios, if you're debating between a few studs, Joe Ryan, I want to make sure is clear that is a tier below the other guys. Yes, even a Shota Imanaga. Drew Rasmussen at Baltimore. I mean, he's been going five innings constantly right now. He's still going to do it because it's finally a good matchup away from Tampa Bay. In Camden against the Orioles, like that just seemed like it should be productive for you. Framber Valdez at Athletics, oh my gosh, in Sacro Verde. This is a tough one because it's Framber who should be good. And you know, my take on Framber is that he's just frustrating and all this stuff. And he was so good at the beginning of the year, and now he's bad at the end, which is a reverse of last year. And I don't know what to do. I feel like you should just be going with him because his curve should be there. It should be fine for Framber. It's a big game. He should step up. Still, if you want to be conservative, I understand not starting Framber Valdez. You just don't really know what you're going to get. You have Parker Messick against the Tigers. Big game, of course, with the Guardians. Messick has been a big part of this surge for Cleveland. His changeup hasn't been great. The left-handed lineup of the Tigers are not favorable to bat against Messick. That is, they are favorable for Messick. A terrible sentence, I know. So I am going to go with that one. And also another lefty in a good situation is Cade Povich. He's a Toby who you face against in good matchups. That is this with the Rays in Camden. I love that one. That is my stream pick of the day. Questionable starts. You have Brian Bello at Toronto. It's weird because Bello is a Toby, but it's not a good matchup. It's that simple. The Red Sox are still not solidified for the postseason. And it's going to be a big series this weekend against the Tigers, who are both going to be fighting for their lives, essentially. If the Red Sox lose this one, they'll be in a very tough situation. It's a tough one. So Brian Bello, in my view, does not have the same leash that he normally would, as the Red Sox will do everything in their power to win these games, which means that there'll be a slightly quicker hook than usual. You have Taijuan Walker against the Marlins. I know, trust me, it's Taijuan Walker, but it's the Marlins. At least we know that it's not a piggyback, which makes a lot of sense because the Phillies don't need to throw their main guys right now, right? They want them to rest. So you'll see Walker Buehler tomorrow, which means, all right, Taijuan Walker is going to go more than four than like he did last time. That's why he went a shorter start last time out. I think also last two maybe as well. It's Taijuan Walker Buehler is what it was. It's not this time. Okay, so at least we should expect him to have the leash to go five innings. Tyler Mahle against the Twins is going today. Keep that in mind. There was an idea before that it would be earlier in the week, but because Patrick Corbin stepped in earlier, and they're pushing back Jacob DeGrom as they should, and all they really should, just because Jacob DeGrom should not really be pitching anymore. Like, you had a great season. Rest. Do not overthrow DeGrom this year. Tyler Malley, he isn't fully stretched out, is the problem here. Also, I don't think his stuff is that amazing. It is the Twins, though, and it is in Arlington. And I will always call it Arlington. So that could work. You have Zach Gallen against the Dodgers. I don't know what to expect here. His changeup has been better. He's also pitching for his contract. And I feel that Zach Gallen is going to have all the adrenaline, being like, all right, this is it. This is my way to showcase that I've still got it, right? So I do think that he's going to demand that the Diamondbacks leave him in it for as long as possible here. And he has been better as of late. So I am favorable to starting that as opposed to like a do not start, right? And Emerson Hancock, as I mentioned before, gets Rocky Road. I was tempted to put it higher. I was tempted to put it lower. I didn't know really where to put it. PL Bot loves it because the Rockies are just that bad. Thing is, Emerson Hancock, I don't know how stretched out he is. Also, even though it is Rocky Road, the skills are not that great. He should be throwing sinkers inside effectively and sliders away. We just don't know what we're going to get. And he hasn't really taken that step forward as we wanted him to see, or to see from him. You could get a quality start as they'll just kind of let him fly. They don't really care. And it could be his opportunity to be like, yes, I am very, you know, I am who I am and it's great and all that kind of stuff. But I get a sense that he's not ready for that opportunity. And it's, I'm a little cautious of going after that. The do not start tier, that is Jansen Junk at the Phillies. He's a junk baller who just went 7 innings last time out. And I get that. You're kind of tempted, but it's the Phillies. And I don't really think that Jansen Junk is that good. So be careful with that one. Davis Martin at the Yankees. He's awfully boring. And it's the Yankees. There's a shot at 6 frames because they don't really care. And they're trying to not have 100 losses. So keep that in mind. The Yankees might be a little bit more lax as they've made it the postseason. They're not going to really go as hard as they can at the moment. Mike Lorenzen at the Angels. He also went 7 frames like Jansen Junk in his last outing, but it's a slim chance for him to execute that enemy start. We talk about it all the time. At best, he's a werewolf. He's a desperate play against the Angels, who are a good team to face for Lorenzen, right? It is a weak lineup, a lot of right-handers for this right-handed Lorenzen, but yeah, I would not want to go for that one. That's a desperate quality start play. Luis Severino against the Astros already is not really the best matchup, though it is righty versus righty, but it's in Sacramento, Verde, right? You don't really want to go starting Severino in Sacramento. Not a good play. Braxton Ashcraft at the Reds. I will mention it is the Reds lineup, but Braxton Ashcraft has been babied by the Pirates, and I do not see them just all of a sudden giving him the long leash for the last start. I feel like they're just going to keep doing this one thing. It would be surprising to me if they let him go like 90 pitches all of a sudden for the last one to air it out or something before the postseason. Like, why push it? Don't push it. Keenan Montero at the Guardians. It's possible he can go 5 innings. It is wild to me that the Tigers are putting Keedair Montero in this situation. And Troy Melton needs to be the guy, but I honestly should have in front of me if Troy Melton has had any recent innings or not, that he could possibly come in quickly for this one, as I do believe that the Tigers are not going to let Keedair Montero go too long in this, right? This is going to be a quick hook. They need to win everything possible at the moment. The last time that Troy Melton pitched was on the 20th. It was 1.1 innings. So I would actually not be shocked if you see Troy Melton be the quick option for the Tigers in this game or even in today's game if Jack Flaherty isn't doing well. So actually, Troy Melton might be a very good add for your teams right now in case of a quick relief appearance. You could see him for, honestly, 3-4 innings, if not more, considering he hasn't pitched for a bit. So they need him more than ever right now, Troy Melton. And then, of course, you have Mitch Ferris against the Royals in Los Angeles. You don't want to do that. He has the sloth ball, as I like to call it, like 76-mile-per-hour changeups, and a 90-mile-per-hour fastball with a 80-mile-per-hour breaker. It's just not what you want. And then you have Bradley Blaylock at Seattle. Again, it is the T. It is away from course, and it's not the worst ever matchup for Bradley Blaylock, but you cannot go with that. All right, that is it for today. If you want an updated thing on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you can get that by getting PL Pro, and you have my entire sit start grid for the rest of the season, as you always do for 2 weeks out, but there are only 3 games left. And of course, you get Fridays updated 1 through 30 for tomorrow. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.